Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
A couple people tipped me off to the story from the Department of Justice, the DOJ, doing good work, busting somebody, and this is involving a classic car restoration scheme. And, you know, in the field of classic car restoration, there are some real problems. And the real problems are that if you have an unusual car, and you want your unusual car to be restored, okay? Now, if you have just a late model car and you bring it to a car dealership and have them do body work on it, those type of places are a dime a dozen. Body work on a modern car, dime a dozen to find people who can do the work. So that's not the problem. The problem is you've got some weird old car, less common, it's rare. If restored properly, it's worth a lot of money. It might even be worth a lot of money in the condition it's in right now. But you want someone to do some high quality work on your classic car. Finding the right place to get that done is extremely difficult because there aren't that many places that can do that kind of work on a very, very strange car. Now, I've seen some TV shows where there are guys who claim they'll work on anything, and some of them do. But, of course, that's television. And reality television is anything but reality. But when it comes to you, you yourself have just simply got some oddball car, and you want to get it restored. What do you do to protect yourself? Because the stories we hear are legion, as they say. And I'll let you know right now that this, what I'm about to tell you, happens all the time, all across America, and probably in other countries too. Former Fresno businessman charged with wire fraud and money laundering for classic car restoration scheme. Story is from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice, Eastern District of California. And this actually came down in the newswire a couple months ago, but it's now just being reported widely in the news. A Fresno business owner was arraigned for a scheme to defraud the customers of his classic car business. It's according to U.S. Attorney McGregor W. Scott. A federal grand jury returned a 22-count indictment against the man currently residing in Irvine, charging him with wire fraud and money laundering. So they convened a grand jury, witnesses came in and testified, and they came to the conclusion that this man here should be charged with a crime, and in fact, he should be charged with 22 counts. According to court documents, the man owns and operated West Coast Chassis LLC. And between the years of 2015 and 2019, he advertised his business online as one dedicated to the restoration of Corvettes and Camaros and some other vehicles, but he emphasized the Corvettes and the Camaros. Instead of providing the promised chassis and modifications to the vehicle frames that his customers sent him, he kept the money, failed to provide the promised product, and he allegedly defrauded his customers out of more than $600,000. And the allegation is that the company specialized in chassis work on these Corvettes and Camaros. Now, the FBI is asking you if you have information about this investigation or if you believe you may have been a victim of West Coast Chassis LLC. You can call them and let them know, and they will help you out here. This case is the product of an investigation by the IRS, criminal investigation, and the FBI. And if convicted, the man faces a maximum statutory penalty of 20 years in prison, $250,000 fine. And any sentence, however, will be determined at the discretion of the court after consideration of any applicable statutory factors and the federal sentencing guidelines, which take into account a number of variables. The charges are only allegations. Of course, the defendant is presumed innocent until and unless proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And as of right now, he hasn't been put on trial. So he is presumed to be innocent. So I read a few articles about this, and there were some questions about statements made on, I guess, the website, talking about the kind of work that he was capable of doing. People would bring him a car, give him some money, and say, do the work. And apparently enough people said the work didn't get done, or didn't get done properly, that they complained. And now here's the thing. I've had people call my office before and say, Steve, I brought my car into a guy to do work on it. He's going to do work on my car. He's going to restore my car. And let's just say it's a mid-1960s muscle car. And the guy did work on it and said, there you go, your car is done. And you look at the car and it's a mess. I mean, the guy did body work on it and he did paint it, but you know, let's say there's orange peel in the paint. There's a few places in the body work where you can still see, like, you know, marks in the Bondo. And a couple other issues. And the guy goes, no, that's the work. You're done. You paid me. I did the work. And you can get into arguments there about what standard or quality of work you're entitled to. And one of the biggest problems in this field, and by the way, I'm going to purposely couch what I'm about to say and aim this towards the guys who are in the business as opposed to the customers, okay? If you run one of these businesses and you are on the up and up and you do things honestly, I would urge you to create a work order that very clearly lays out what you are going to do for the money the customer gives you and what you're promising to give the customer. And in some states, that's required by law. But my point is that if somebody comes to you and says, I want you to do body work on my car. I want you to do paint on my car. I want you to straighten out the sheet metal on my car. I want you to replace the fenders on my car. I want, whatever it is, have a work order that lays all this stuff out. I am scared to tell you how many times people have told me that they paid tens of thousands of dollars to a repair shop to have work done restoring an older vehicle. And all they had, in essence, was a handshake. I talked to the guy. I've had it before where they sent him money and just had the car shipped. Never met the guy. Did you see his shop? Well, I did when I went to go pick up my car. Well, really? And you're surprised this didn't work out well. Now, I'm sure there's also companies out there that do lousy work and have paperwork to back up their lousy work. But when somebody talks to somebody else and you're in essence negotiating, you don't call it that, but you're often talking about what you're going to do and what's going to get done. And let's suppose that I have a classic car. I've got a really cool old car. And you have the shop that's going to do the restoration on it. And you and I talk. We talk. Okay, nothing's written down. We just talk. And I say, I want my car restored. And you go, I can restore your car. And I say, what's it going to cost? And you go, $45,000. And I go, here you go. Bam. And I put $45,000 in cash on the desk in front of you. And you handwrite a receipt that just says, received $45,000 on a date. And you sign it and hand me the receipt. I go, how long is it going to take? You go, 6 months. I go, see, I'll be back in 6 months. 6 months later, I come back and my car is a mess. You say it's in great shape. You restored it. What was our agreement again? 6 months ago, we talked, and I said to you, I want my car restored, and you said, I'll restore your car. Is that restored? It depends. It depends on who you ask. You ask the guy who did it, he says yes. You ask the guy who bought it, he says no. And the number of times I've heard arguments about this stuff, and it's everything from, I thought the guy was going to use new sheet metal, and he used Bondo. I thought the guy was going to replace the fenders, and he hammered the old ones out. I thought, and guess what? The stuff you thought didn't make it on the paper and wasn't created and memorialized in a way that we can all look back at and say, oh, here is what we agreed to. Here is what we agreed to. And I have seen a wise set of people. I'm talking about the customer and the merchant, or the customer and the shop, right? The pair of people who wisely created a document that described what was going to be done. Car's been brought in. The engine's going to be pulled and rebuilt, including, you know, if necessary, you know, new pistons, new connecting rods, new crankshaft, new camshaft, you know, or whatever. And it lists these things out. And I've seen that before. And I've also seen it where it's literally just a handshake and tens of thousands of dollars. And that's just one problem. The next problem I've seen repeatedly is the guy who's running the Rob Peter to pay Paul scheme. It's not quite a Ponzi scheme, but some guy brings a car and goes, I want this car worked on. I want you to restore my car. $40,000. Guy hands $40,000 over. The car goes in the shop. The owner of the shop uses the $40,000 to pay his rent, to pay the rent on his house, to pay his car note, pay his phone bill, and pay a couple of his workers who weren't paid last week. And now he doesn't have enough money to work on this car. Car number two comes in. $45,000 to restore your car. Car goes in the shop, $45,000 comes in, and very quickly this money is used to fix car number one. And I've seen it before where that happens, but further down the road, the cash flow goes bad because the cars are coming out slower than you'd expect, and other problems occur. So that's another problem, the poorly financed shop that doesn't do the work with the money you gave them, and they don't have the cash flow to do the work at the appropriate speed. Problem number three that I have heard of more than once. Someone says, weirdest thing happened. There was a guy who's running a shop. Everyone in the community knows this guy. He specializes in restoring Isettas. Something strange. It's always something strange. I have one. I brought it to the guy. The guy goes, oh, I've done 50 of these. I do these all day long. He's got a photo album. He can show you. Whatever. You bring in your Isetta and it goes in the shop. You give the guy $45,000 because that's the number I like. And a couple weeks goes by and you call and you get a voicemail. The guy doesn't call you back. A couple more weeks goes by, you call him again. No call back on the voicemail. You go by the shop and the shop is gone. I mean, the building is still there, but inside you can look in the windows. Inside is empty. It's been cleaned out. Your car's not there. None of the other cars you saw the day you were there are there. The benches, the tools, it's all gone. And now you call the number and no one answers. No, phone number's dead. Your car's just gone. Just disappeared into the night. Now, there's no guarantee that any business you're doing business with today will be there a month from now. There's no guarantees in life. But you can sometimes feel this stuff out. And so be careful. Because one of the reasons that con men get as far as they do is that they talk a really good game. And so when you're doing research and you find the guy who just happens to be an expert in the car that you've got and says he can fix it for you, you're going to want to ask around and see if you can get references or other people. And almost all cars today, I don't care what oddball car you've got, there's going to be some organization somewhere that these people are members of. And chat groups on the internet, Facebook groups, whatever you have, you're going to find a group of these people. And you can go in there. And I've had people tell me, and I've seen the documentation to prove it. They'll go, Steve, I brought my car into a shop. And the shop disappeared. My car disappeared. I filed a police report. Then, this is always the dangerous word, then I looked the guy up, did some research, discovered what a scoundrel he is. Turns out everyone in the chat groups is talking about what a bad guy this guy is. And I go, well, what were they saying about him back when you hired him? I didn't do the research then. I did the research afterwards. And that's always the problem, is people do their research after the fact. That's when they find out they shouldn't have gone there in the first place. So it's an order of operations problem for the engineers in the audience, right? Is that if you've got the car and it needs to be restored, call around some different places. But before you commit, go into one of those chat groups, chat rooms, join the club, whatever it is, and get the word out and talk to people and say, I'm thinking about bringing my vehicle into this guy. What do you guys think? Has anybody had an experience with this guy? And try to follow up on that. Do some research. Again, that doesn't guarantee you won't get ripped off, but it will certainly help, because I know people who dealt with somebody and found out later that there was all kinds of stuff on the internet that would have tipped him off this guy as somebody you don't give your money to. And he got your money. And it turns out that you're now on a Facebook group telling others, oh, I just got ripped off by this guy. And they say, join the club, because there's other people who got ripped off too. So the former Fresno businessman charged with wire fraud and money laundering for his classic car restoration scheme, West Coast Chassis LLC, Corvettes, Camaros, and others. So if you've dealt with him at that company and didn't get what you bargained for, you might actually want to contact the FBI. And they're working on that right now. So again, the man is innocent until proven guilty. And even that might not happen. So as of right now, he is presumed to be not guilty. There you go. So that's a story from the DOJ. Keith and Andrew both sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Life is not a matter of holding good cards, but sometimes playing a poor hand well.